Praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be here tonight. I will thank the Lord for his blessings. Thank the Lord for his help. You know we could do nothing without the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so hard to grasp how people live without the Lord. And it does seem like we are seeing a time of more and more antagonisms. You know, Brother Tim and I were walking today, and we, gave out some tracts and all that kind of thing. And you know, there's a lot of signs up, or well, maybe not a lot, but we did see signs where, you know, people made mention that, you know, hate doesn't exist here and that kind of thing there on their home. And you know, I mean, that would sound good, you know, if we didn't know what was behind that. And here we are in a time when, you know, they're talking about hate crimes that Bill Clinton talked about those years earlier, you know, when, you know, they expect that, you know, everybody should be on the same level, every situation should be embraced, whether you decide that, you know, you're a man or you're a woman or you're homosexual or whatever all it is. And oh my, they're fighting for that. Oh, what a day we're living in. We are living in the times of the end. As Samuel mentioned, the time when violence is very prevalent. But oh my, you know, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah are tremendously upon us right now too. And oh my, if we ever needed to look up, you know, it just seems like so many people, you know, you try to, you know, wake them up a little bit, say something that will move their hearts. But it just seems like there's a tremendous indifference in so many cases. You know, there are some that are very hungry and, oh my, wandering around just wondering what's up. But, oh my, you just feel, you know, such hindrances in so many cases, too, where, you know, people have their minds made up in another direction or whatever, you know, not open to looking into the Word of God and then thinking things through, contemplating the state of their soul. And what could be more important to make sure that we are right with God? Nothing could be more important. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for the fact that he's opened up our eyes so that we can see, and our ears so that we can hear. You know, we could do nothing without the Lord. And oh my, such a privilege, such a gift. Oh yes, to be able to live in these times and yes, sense that our God is very much with us, know that our God is very much with us, and you know, sense that his coming is very, very near. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this great and wonderful privilege that we have, oh Lord, to look into your word. We thank you again that you've opened up our eyes, our understanding, Lord. Oh God, it's such a gift from thee, Lord. Oh God, we know we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, we know, God, life would be hopeless without that hope that is deep within our being. And God, I just pray that you'd work here tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd get us to that higher ground. I pray that you'd give us that walk with you, Lord. Oh God, where, oh God, your presence is very much, oh God, upon us, Lord. Oh God, so that we can have an impact in this world. So we can do what we need to do before this is all over, Lord. Oh God, you know it all, Lord. I know you warned us this time is coming when no man could work. And oh my, you told us to work while it is day because that night is coming. Oh Lord, I pray that you would awaken us. I pray that you'd help us in these final moments of time. I pray, oh God, that you draw us ever closer. Lord, I pray that you would tug at our hearts and talk to us, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And oh God, we pray that you would be here, that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. That you give us faith to endure, Lord. Oh God, faith to stand. Oh God, faith to go forward. Oh God, faith to not be afraid. Oh God, we come before thee, Lord. We ask for thy help in the name of Jesus. Oh God, there's power in thy blood and authority in thy name, Lord. Oh God, we have thy promises, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you'd work in a special way tonight. Oh God, that the devil would be rebuked. There would be no hindrances, Lord. And I pray that you draw us ever closer to you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, my. We have been so blessed to know the living God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I was able to have my study with the children yesterday, and usually we do it in the evening, but a lot of things had come up on Saturdays, and the door was open that we could meet yesterday. And, you know, it was pretty amazing. We went to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're actually studying the book of Acts. And anyway, you know, it was just amazing as we, you know, talked about it. Here in that 8th chapter, we've got Saul. He's coming against the church, you know. He's got it in his heart to just make havoc of the church and to just bring men and women, Christians, into the prisons. He's dragging them out of their houses and hailing them into the prisons. But you know, the early church, the believers, they did not react with fear. And that's one thing we noted yesterday as we were studying this 8th chapter. They did not react with fear. You know, they could have went into hiding places and retreated and you know, thought it was all over in that sense. But no, persecution spread the church of the living God. Oh, yes, it spread from Jerusalem, and it went into Judea, the region that Jerusalem was in. And from Judea, it spread to Samaria. And of course, as that book continued, it went even beyond that. But praise the Lord, I'm so glad, you know, our God is in charge. Despite all the negative things we're seeing, despite these times and what we're hearing, and all the concerns, all the worries. I mean, you know, we could just, you know, go find a cave or something and you know, hide. But praise the Lord, we have a mighty God, and he is with us just as he was with the early church. He is with his people right now. Yes, because, oh yes, we are part of the body of Christ. Amen. And oh, what a privilege it is. Oh, praise the Lord for what he has done. And you know, that gospel spread into Samaria. There was Philip, one of the appointed deacons, going into Samaria. And you know, the people there, those Samaritans, heard the gospel with one accord. It tells us there was great joy in that city. Oh, yes, as the news came to them, the gospel news. Oh, and it's mentioned that, you know, unclean spirits came out of them. Those that were sick with the palsies were healed. Those that were lame were raised up, oh, yes, so they can walk. And there was great joy in that city. And oh my, you know, there was a certain man there. He had controlled that city. Oh yes, he was a sorcerer. He was a witch. And oh my, the people had all considered him to be a man that had power. And they had given heed to him. They said his power was of God even. But oh my, you know, the true gospel came into the world. Oh, thank God, for every counterfeit there is the real thing. And you know, those Samaritan people, they believed when Philip preached Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And it tells us, oh yes, they were baptized. Both men and women, they were baptized in that same name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Simon, the sorcerer, was baptized. But oh my, we find out that his heart wasn't right because oh my, you know, he wanted something, you know, he wanted to retain that control, I believe. He wanted to have that power, so that influence that he had with the people. But praise the Lord, you know, there was one thing that hadn't happened. All these miracles, all these great things that had happened, it was amazing. But they had not received the Holy Ghost yet. It just hadn't happened. It says he had not fallen on any of them yet. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the ghost of Jesus Christ, so to speak. The ghost is the spirit of a departed one. It had not fallen on the people yet. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And oh yes, Peter and John came forth to lay hands on the people that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as they did on Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. Here they came because there was a need. It wasn't enough to have repented. It wasn't enough just to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed something else. They needed a power beyond, a power that comes with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord and praise God. When Peter and John laid their hands on the believers, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They received the Holy Ghost with the laying on of hands. And oh my, there's Simon, the former sorcerer, or whatever his status was at the moment. And when he saw that the gift of God was given as it was, he offered them money because he wanted that power. He wanted that ability that he could lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. You see, something happened. There was a transformation when they received the Holy Ghost. They spake with other tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, there was an outward manifestation that was so obvious and clear that it could not be denied. Of course, Peter said to Simon, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money." He told him that he had neither part nor lot in the matter, for his heart wasn't right with God. Oh my, yes, to have a heart beat after that heartbeat of God. Oh yes, to be filled with that power from on high, be endued with that spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. He had to be rebuked, and Peter perceived that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and entreated him, "Pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." We don't know the state of all of that. We don't know if that was a statement of repentance or just sadness because, you know, he had done so well and he had motives that were not right with God. But praise the Lord, that gospel message, oh, it spread. And I'm so glad they didn't become terrified with persecution. They went forth and brought the gospel to parts beyond. They moved on and let the Lord work. And praise the Lord, it tells us that Peter and John, after they had testified and preached the word of God there, they returned to Jerusalem. But in the meantime, the gospel was preached in many of the villages in Samaria. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, to this moment, God is not restricted. Oh, they try so hard, you know, the mandates that they brought forth in 2020 and you know, all the things that they're trying to do now. God is not restricted. Oh, yes, you know, he knows how to move mountains that need to be moved. He knows how to work in hearts despite these times. Oh, my, he knows them that are his. And praise the Lord, he knows how to work beyond any efforts that might, come forth to stop him. Thank the Lord, our God is not restricted. We're so privileged to be part of the body of Christ, to be children of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, to be set free. And praise the Lord, if we could just believe and go forth, the Lord will use us. Amen. Oh, yet, while we have a little time, Praise the Lord. God knows how to get that gospel message, oh, to those, oh, that yet need to hear. Amen. The hearts that yet can be touched by our living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the little children. And I know Brother Tim has a burden for little children. You know, God talked to him when he was very young and gave him, just a great desire, even at a young age, for something beyond. Praise the Lord, a call, even at a very young age. And you don't know. You know, they're trying to sabotage the children. They're trying to steal them. They're trying to captivate them and teach them all kinds of unclean things. But again, we serve a mighty God. And praise the Lord, he knows how to work beyond the restrictions of man, the misteachings of man, all the horrible things that are in this world. Oh my, the lack of morals and just people, grasping that which is right and good. Oh my, thank the Lord. Our God is still going to have a people and he still knows how to work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter here. We started this last week, and with the help of the Lord, we're going to continue here and see what the Lord might show us here tonight. Praise the Lord. I must say, when I was teaching last week, I came to this pulpit just really not knowing if I was going to go into the book of Acts. I'd just been praying about it and not knowing it. But, oh my, it was so compelling when I opened up the Bible. And, oh my, thank the Lord. We need to be revived. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's time to cry out like we've never cried out before. It's time to have faith like we've never had before. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know that there were problems in this church at Corinth. And in this epistle, we know that Paul is trying to help these people. He's bringing out several of the situations that needed change, that were not right. And oh my, here in this 5th chapter, we have a problem. And we brought it out some last week. So let's just read and ask the Lord to show us what we need to see here. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Verse 2 tells us, "And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed." So here it came to Paul's attention here, this church at Corinth, and he had established this church at its beginning, that, oh my, here was this situation. And of course, they are of Gentile background, but, they'd been taught. They'd been instructed. They'd been discipled. And here, for some reason, somehow, this fornication problem came in. And somebody had, taken his father's wife. And then there's a problem because they had embraced this, or it maybe allowed it is a better word here. And Paul is saying, you are puffed up. In other words, there's not the spirit of repentance here. They hadn't mourned. They weren't regretful. They had allowed it and excused it in that sense. And so he's telling them, I'm not there in your presence, but I can judge this situation from what I've heard. And so he goes on to say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So here it is, you know, he's telling them this thing that has come into the church cannot be tolerated. And for the sake of this individual's soul, he's telling them to deliver this one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, he's not condemning this person to hell. That's not it. He's just trying to tell them, you've got to make this apparent to him. You can't allow this. You know, it can't be amongst the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this one, you know, has to be chastised. They cannot remain in that condition and be participants in the body of Christ. And it was with a hope that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord, there was hope that if this individual could be brought to true repentance, that, oh my, yes, with repentance, praise the Lord, there's great hope, isn't there? Amen. Yes, if such a one would repent, their spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there was great hope. But see, you couldn't condone what was wrong. You couldn't tolerate it. There had to be some judgment on their part, and they had to do something. So he goes on to tell them here in verse 6, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And then he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Oh, praise the Lord. And here he's comparing, oh yes, this condition to the state of leaven. Leaven in the scripture equals sin. And you know, he's declaring the very basics here, that a little leaven, if it's allowed in the church, in the body of Christ, it's going to leaveneth the whole lump until they're all leavened in that sense. I just want to stop here a moment and just go for a moment into Exodus, the 12th chapter. And here, you know, as I just said, that leaven in the scripture seems to equal sin. And here, of course, in Exodus, the 12th chapter, we see that it was the time of the Passover. And God has spoken to Moses and Aaron and given them the instructions of how they were to bring it about. And of course, you know, they've just gone through the plagues, and the last plague is just about to happen at this point here in the 12th chapter of Exodus. But here, they needed to make preparations because they were going to be finally taken out of Egypt. Moses was going to lead them out of Egypt. But of course, there were things that they had to do. And in, oh my, you know, here it was, the time of the Passover that would come forth, and that month was to be the beginning of months to them. And on that 10th day of that month, every individual, every man was to take a lamb according to his household. If his household was too little for one lamb, then he could share it with a neighbor. But anyway, it was essential that they would find a lamb that was without blemish, a male of the first year. And they were told verse 5, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And here they're instructed very precisely what they must do. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And oh, again, more instructions. Oh, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Oh, we know that the angel of the Lord, the death angel, was going to pass over the people. And if there was not blood on their doorpost, oh my, the firstborn in that household was going to be killed. Oh, it was absolutely 100% essential that they would have blood on their doorposts. That would save them in this case. Oh, yes. So here they were told, oh yes, to get that lamb, that goat, one without blemish, a male of the first year, to take it from the sheep or from the goats and be prepared there on that 14th day, that oh my, that they would then bring forth that sacrifice and use the blood to put it around the doorpost. The two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. And oh my, they were told to be ready, their loins girded, shoes on their feet, a staff in their hands, ready to leave in haste, because oh yes, it was Lord's Passover and he was going to come forth that night. Oh yes, and bring death to those that did not have the blood on their doorposts. Tells us in verse 12 here in Exodus 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes. Jesus became the Passover lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. And we too observe that time. Oh, when, oh, yes, he gave his life a ransom for many. Oh, yes, by observing it. Oh, yes, by drinking the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread to commemorate, to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Praise the Lord, how he died, how he shed his blood that we might have life, that we might be saved, that blood might be applied to our lives. Amen. Oh, yes. But oh, yes, there was the other thing here. There was the unleavened bread that they had to get ready here. It tells us here, concerning the unleavened bread here, looking at verse 15 here in Exodus 12. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day that Saul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No matter work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So, yes, they were to celebrate in that respect and refrain from work there on the first day, which would be holy convocation in that sense, and on the seventh day likewise. And verse 17 tells us, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread." Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we see here the importance, oh, yes, to refrain from it during that period of time of unleavened bread. Oh, yes, it would begin with the Passover. And oh, we see the consequences of it. If anyone should disobey this and have even leavening in their house, it would indicate that they would be cut off from Israel. That's the serious consequences of sin. As I stated, that leaven indicates sin. And here in 1 Corinthians, there is a problem in that church. And here Paul is comparing it to leaven. And you know, here, you know, they are told very clearly that that little leaven that they have allowed in the assembly there would leaveneth the whole lump. So it was very important to have that purged out. Amen. You know, there is such a need. And of course, it wasn't just that particular, you know, that would be considered leaven in a body of believers. But, you know, there's other things. We see this same comparison in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And there we see another situation. Here in the church at Galatia, there was another problem, because these people, though they'd come to the Lord, though they were believers, though they had repented and been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, yet they had been hindered. They had allowed leaven to come into their group. And their problem was that they had gone back to Judaism. And they were requiring circumcision there. And again, you know, it was a problem. It was a deep concern for Paul as he's writing this epistle to the church at Galatia. And oh my, you know, Paul is very distressed. You know, he's, you know, it's like they have been removed into another, removed from the grace of Christ, you could say, into another gospel. And he emphasizes that in the first chapter of Galatians. And, you know, he brings forth, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." That's the need for the true gospel, the true doctrines of Christ. Amen. And he says it again, verse 9 here in Galatians 1, as we said before. "So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Oh my, he didn't want leaven to get into the body of Christ. And here it had happened. Oh my, you know, he tells them here in this fifth chapter of Galatians, just to read it, it says in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." They were insisting upon it. They were going back to other ordinances and ways that were under the law. And he says in verse 3, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And he explains in verse 6 here, Galatians 5 verse 6 tells us, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he's trying to explain this. Oh, yes. And they're thinking. They're trying to get back under the law. It was like they had allowed leaven to come in, which had the capacity to destroy them spiritually. He tells them in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." See, they had somehow embraced these other concepts and allowed it to come in. And then verse 9, here he says it, just as it's told us in 1 Corinthians 5, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Oh, you see the serious consequences. Oh, yes, when sin is allowed. And here, going back to 1 Corinthians 5, oh, yes, we see there was a need to take care of this problem. Oh, that it not be embraced, that it not be tolerated. Oh, yes, that there would be a difference made in that assembly. Oh, yes, that it would be made right, even for the sake of the individual who had sinned and was part of this difficulty here. So it's told here in verse 7 here, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us." Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of God. He goes on to tell us, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, going back to that which was right, getting things right in that body of Christ. Oh, yes, purging out the old leaven before it became so vast and so big and covered all of them. Oh, there was a great need. And oh, as we live in this world at this point, there is a need that we not allow leaven to come into our body. Oh, our assembly. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so important to stick to the Word of God and to adhere to it, to hold it dear, to love it, oh yes, and to abide by its truths. You know, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we have a lot of good advice here in telling us how we might overcome, how we might be right with God, how we might walk in faith, praise the Lord. just looking here at Ephesians, this fourth chapter, looking here at verse 17 to begin. Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Oh my, the situation back then and how it is right now, all the lustfulness, the lewdness that was common among the Gentiles. But he went on to say in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Oh my, this is not the way of a Christian. It goes on to say in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, it is so important to have the Holy Ghost working in us and then the renewing of the Holy Ghost again and again, oh, working in us to purge us, to set us free, oh, so that we don't allow the leaven to come in and invade and do its dirty work. So yes, here there is an exhortation here. Oh, to put off concerning the former conversation, the old ways, the old conduct, the old man, all the corruption according to the deceitful lusts. And instead allowing the Spirit of God to be renewed in our minds. And verse 24 tells us, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And now he gives us some details here to help us to know how to walk accordingly. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He went on to say another specific here in verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Of course, there is a time when you can have righteous indignation and not be angry sinfully, being angry at the unjust things, at sin, at what we're seeing in that sense. But oh my, we don't want to give it over to wrath. And here we're told, oh my, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh my, if something has gone wrong that day, you need to give it over to the Lord Jesus before you lay your head on that pillow. And oh my, yes, wrath is very forceful, very vindictive. You know, anger that has gone to an extreme, I would say. And, you know, something that, you know, has worked up in the spirit. And therefore sinful. And here, yes, this exhortation, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then verse 27 tells us, neither give place to the devil. Oh my, more important exhortation here. In other words, don't let him sit at your table. Oh my, don't allow him. Oh, don't hold to things that are his. Don't entertain thoughts that come from the devil. Don't go to places that would invite compromise, that would invite sin. You know, don't listen to music that could destroy your soul. Don't consume things that will take your spirits away. Alcohol and such things. Drugs. all of that that, you know, is even common in our time today. Oh my, things that people let into their lives, allow in their lives. In reality, giving place to the devil. Oh my, we have to watch what we see, what we hear. We have to be guarded in our hearts. You know, if you're inclined to watch television, oh my, you better be very guarded. There's a lot of filthiness on that television screen. Oh, there's a lot of commercials that hint of things that are unthinkable for a Christian. There's much programming that can destroy your soul. Oh, I think we better be guarded, and we better be watchful. There's so many things, so many ways that we could give place to the devil and allow him to come in and destroy us. Yeah. But here, oh my, this wise counsel here, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a seat to sit. Don't allow him close. If anything seems dubious, then you better avoid it, even the appearance of evil. Amen. Don't hold on to things that are his. Oh my, let it all go. Amen. And don't give your heart over, oh, to unthinkable things. Oh yes, the addictive things of this world that can corrupt your person, that can invite spirits into your life. Alcohol is like that. Yes, cigarettes too entice devils. And so many other things. Drugs are an extreme problem in that way too. But oh my, yes, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow him to have any place to sit. Amen. Don't allow him any room in your life.
Amen.
Amen. No connections whatsoever. Praise God. And then he goes on to say in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Praise the Lord. Oh, being profitable. Oh, that old way of life. Oh, my. Oh, maybe where one took things that were not his. Oh, that's not the way of a Christian, is it? No. Hear the instructions. Oh, yes, very wise and needful here. Oh, instead, let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Then he goes on to say in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, people can tell a lot about the way we talk, the words that come out of our mouth. If we're cursing and swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain, oh my, it's good to tell the story. We're not living for God. We're not a child of God. Yeah. You know, as Psalms 19 verse 14 tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we've got to purge the old man. Oh, we, you know, if any doubts and fears and thoughts that, you know, are not allowable in the sight of God come to mind, we've got to strike them down. We've got to let them go. We've got to rebuke them in the name of the Lord. Amen. We don't want any corrupt communication coming out of our mouths, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, yes, I truly believe that people can tell a lot about the way we talk. Amen. Oh, yes, if the Lord will, we're going to go here. We're going to do that. You know, we're going to think upon that. You know, according to the Lord's will, you know, everything should be different about us when we're committed to the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, yes, something to stand by, something to guard against. Amen. Oh, yes. something, to make sure that, we curb that tongue.
Yes.
And don't let it, mutter things that...
No vulgar.
Oh, yes. Nothing, yes, that is vulgar. Oh, yes. Nothing that is untruthful. Nothing that would grieve the Spirit of the living God. Nothing that would bring reproach upon God's people. And yes, verse 30 tells us, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Oh, praise the Lord, that seal that he puts upon us. Oh, with the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh my, we don't want to grieve that. We don't want to do things that repulse the Spirit of God. Oh my, unclean things, things that, oh my, that God hates, things that are abominable in the sight of God. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how guarded we need to be in our lives. How watchful, how careful, how cautious. Yes. Oh, by the grace of God. Amen. And then verse 31 tells us, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Oh, yes, we don't want these characteristics. Oh, my, they could come in. Oh, my, sometimes things happen in this life. Often things happen, inappropriate things happen. And sometimes we're hurt by other people. But, oh, my, we can't allow our spirit to get bitter. We can't allow wrath to come in or anger in that sense. We have no room for clamor, this loud, obnoxious, complaining, a bitter spirit. There's plenty of people like that. Yeah. But oh my, if we're living for the Lord, we've got to guard against it. Amen. It's to be put away from us with all evil speaking, put away with all malice. Oh, malice is a dreadful thing. A desire to harm other people, to see others suffer. That's a horrible trait. Ill will, or wishing somebody ill will. Never do we want to have these characteristics. Amen, if we're living for the Lord. And verse 32 tells us, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you." Oh, praise the Lord. None of us could do without God's mercies, his grace, oh, his forgiveness. Oh, my, and oh, my, if he could forgive us as nasty as we've been in our past, how willing we should be to forgive one another. On how tender-hearted we should be one toward another. Oh my, realizing we're all human. We're all fighting these battles together. We all need strength from one another. There's no room for these bitter characteristics. There's no room for unforgiveness in the heart of a Christian. Oh my, that need, oh, to overlook. Oh yes, to be tender. Hearted, to be kind, to have the love that Jesus Christ has for his church, that wonderful agape love that he showed for his people when he died for us on the cross. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we want to guard against any leaven that would try to invade, come in. Oh, yes, even seeking to destroy. Oh, my. And here, going back to 1 Corinthians, that fifth chapter, Paul is continuing here to exhort them here. He says in verse 9, he says, "I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators." The church of the living God is a glorious church. It's a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, God has ordained that it would be holy and without blemish. Oh, yes, in other words, it's a people that are striving to live above sin. It's a people that hate the things that God hates. Oh, it's the people that are striving for the mastery, to have the mind of Christ. And oh my, he doesn't want unclean things to come into the body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be kept pure.
Amen.
So here he's telling them, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, we couldn't communicate with anybody if, you know, we couldn't have some dealings with them, you know, some communication with those that are outside the body of Christ. But see, he's talking about inside the body of Christ. And here in verse 11, my, here he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. No, not to eat. Oh my, so he's, you know, he's got some parameters here. He's telling us, boy, if there's one that's called a brother, or of course a sister too, and they're a fornicator, you know, they're practicing some kind of sexual sin, oh my, or they're covetous, or an idolater. And of course, idolatry, you know, that can cover a lot of areas. You know, if you've got something in your heart that you love beyond God, it becomes an idol in your life. And he talked about railers. Oh my, that's somebody who's a reviler, who uses abusive speech, who talks in a nasty way. Or a drunkard. I think we know what a drunkard is. Or an extortioner. And oh my, you know, we don't want any of these kind of things in the body of Christ. An extortioner is someone who uses one's position or power to obtain property or funds or patronage that would not belong to them. Or it could be excessive or exorbitant charges that they would try to put on another. But all of these should not be characteristics of a child of God, someone who's putting on Christ. And oh my, so he's telling us there are parameters here in the body of Christ, and there are some things that we can't allow within. So he goes on to say in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? God's going to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Oh, yes, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and all matters are going to be put under his consideration, under his eye, he who knows it all. But within the body of Christ, there are times that judgments must be made. He goes on to say in verse 13, but them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I think how Peter exhorted there in his epistles, the first epistle there, that there was a time, he said, the time had come when judgment must begin at the house of God. There, the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, verse 17. And he says, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And verse 18 here in 1 Peter 4 tells us, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, how guarded we need to be in our living, our life. Oh, my. Our actions speak so loudly. We want to be salt in this earth. Oh, yes, our lives should be such that by others watching us, they might know what is right and what is wrong. We need to be a living testimony. Oh, yes, seen and read of all men. Amen. But, oh, my, we need so to be guarded that all things that would hinder others from knowing the truth would not enter in and be a point of confusion in the body of Christ. Oh, yes. Going to one other place here. Before this is over here tonight, let's go to the fifth chapter of Ephesians here for more words to help us to know how to be guarded in this world here, how to live, how to judge accordingly. Tells us here, Ephesians chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, or in other words, appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. See, there's a great separation between the body of Christ and the unbeliever, those that are clean and those that are unclean. Oh, those that are unclean, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Oh, God does not look at these works with approval by any means. Oh no, he looks at it with consternation. Oh yes, we don't want to know the wrath of God which will come upon the children of disobedience. And here we are exhorted, verse 7 here, be not ye therefore partakers with them. We are to be separated. That word holy means that we're separated. Our life is a separation from the world as best as it can be. Amen. In that we don't do things that pertain to sin. We don't live in those styles. We abstain from those things that are abominable in the sight of God. So he writes here, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And here he tells us in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh my, God's people don't belong in those dark places. Oh yes, we don't have any business having fellowship with such who walk that kind of lifestyle. But instead, our lifestyle should be such that it would reprove them, that by watching us, we would be a light unto them. We would be a salt unto them, so yes, their wicked works could be reproved in the sight of God. And it goes on to tell us here in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, all the things that they do down there. Oh my, amen. In the secret chambers, oh, the things they try to hide. Oh, too horrendous to mention, too horrendous to describe. Oh, we don't want anything to do with those. kind of works, those dark works. Oh, we have no fellowship with such. But it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we were all out there walking in our ways, walking in the ways of the world. And what a precious thing when God got a hold of us. What a precious moment when we could realize and recognize sin. And all at once that understanding hit us. Oh, that desire to repent, to turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how very, very gracious of our Lord to give us space to repent, give us opportunities to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, praise the Lord, that light that shines. Oh, it's going to make those works of darkness, those unfruitful works of darkness, it's going to make them clear. It's going to reveal those works. It's going to manifest them. And oh, yes, verse 14 again, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, we were all walking in the deadness of sin. But oh, praise the Lord for that moment when, oh, we could arise from that sleeping, from that sinful state. Oh, praise the Lord in that deadness of our being, of our soul, and allowing the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Oh, first of all, revealing the sin so that we could understand and dispose of it, give it over to the Lord, quit walking in those ways, quit doing those things, quit thinking those thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Well, that means very carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, if they were evil back then, and I know they were, but how about right now in this time period when we're seeing the darkness encroaching upon this earth, and oh, mind, we're understanding that, oh, yes, the night is coming upon us. As Jesus exhorted, all that need to work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. Oh my, how we need to give heed this little space, these few opportunities that we have right now. Oh, how we need to redeem the time.
Yeah.
Because the days are evil. How do we redeem the time? Oh, we redeem it by doing our Lord's will. Yes, by doing the things that are right in his sight. Oh, by being a living testimony in this world. Amen. And for standing up for the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. And he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, yes, that we would overcome this world. Oh, my. Yes, that we would stand fast in the evil day. Oh, yes, that we would not give heed to the things that our God hates. Oh, my, but oh, yes, that we would walk in his ways. Oh, be clothed with his righteousness, going forth and doing his will. And here we are exhorted in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, that's how we overcome. Oh, praise the Lord, putting on that armor of God. Oh, praise the Lord, exhorting one another, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And oh, what a secret it is. Oh, yes, if we can think on the things that are true, think on the things that are right in the sight of God, we can meditate on the Psalms, on the Word of God, the things that are profitable. Oh, yes, if we can have that melody in our heart, those songs of praise, those hymns, those spiritual songs, we can sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. In other words, our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listening to His voice, heeding Him as we walk this life, doing His will, walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And oh, yes, hating the things that God hates. Oh, yes, and going forth. Oh, yes, to put on the new man. Oh, yes, to eliminate any leaven that would try to sneak in and invade our life and take over and even destroy us. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for His word. Oh, yes, there was a need in the Corinthians church there, oh, to get right. Some things had crept into that body of believers, some things that they had allowed. But praise God for that epistle that Paul so wrote to them. The need for them to get right. Oh, to purge out the old leaven, to get rid of the things that were abominable in the sight of God, that were disgusting, that were absolutely wrong, that were sinful. And praise the Lord, we have opportunity yet. Oh my, to look closely, to examine ourselves, and to see, oh my, to make sure that we are right in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord, oh, to judge according to God's judgment, according to the things that are written in His word. And oh my, that great need to purge out the old leaven and not allow it to get a foothold in our lives or in the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Oh, thank God. Oh, He gives us opportunity. He gives us, oh, many chances so often to get right in God's sight. Thank the Lord. He was very, oh my, He gave very great opportunities there for them at Corinth to put down the things that were abominable in God's eyes and to get right with God. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for that space to repent. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that You would continue to talk in us. Talk to our hearts. Oh God, walk in us. Oh God, help us, Lord, to purge out any old leaven, Lord, that might have tried to creep in, even unawares. Oh, Lord, help us to walk according to Your ways. Oh, God, help us to listen to that still, small voice that speaks to our hearts and our souls, Lord. Oh, God, talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be right in Your sight. Oh, God, that we might be heedful of the things that are necessary. Oh, God, always hearing that voice of the Lord. Oh, listening to, oh, yes, to what You might tell us. And, oh, God, obeying that which is written. Oh, thank You, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. And thank You, God, for what You've done in our hearts and what You are doing. Thank You for these moments, God, these opportunities. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 169 and sing, "I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever." 169.
Thy faithfulness,
of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.